Church, say amen. Amen. Friends, as we continue our Sabbath work today, we invite you now to hear these words from the Gospel of Luke, the 13th chapter, beginning in the 10th verse. Let us listen for what God is speaking among us now. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things he was doing. Hear what the Spirit is saying. Thanks.
God, you break it open to send your Spirit. You break through the pain. You break through the concern. You break through the uncertainty. You break through our fear. You break through it all so that you might have your way. And so we pray that now we might continue to let you have your way, to say and to do and to be who you are. Because we know that who you are sets us free. And we thank you. Be with me now, Lord, and use me as you will, in the power of Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Rabbi Jesus was teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And just then there appeared people with spirits that bound them, spirits of grief, of guilt, of self-loathing, of fear, of despair, of loneliness, spirits of self-righteousness, spirits of numbness, spirits that caused mental illness, spirits that caused and fed addiction, spirits that caused exhaustion. Now, Rabbi Jesus was teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath. And just then, there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over, was quite unable to stand up straight. And Jesus saw her and called to her and then set her free from what in the original Greek simply says and is described as a spirit that causes weakness. And the woman praised God having received this unsolicited grace. But the leader of the synagogue was having none of it. Because this is the Sabbath, after all. The leader of the synagogue directs his words to the crowd, but he was really preaching to Jesus, who had just made the mistake of healing on the wrong day. In the two versions of the Ten Commandments found in the Bible, the only commandment with a significant variation is the fourth one, the commandment about Sabbath. In Exodus, the Sabbath commandment is grounded in the creation, calling to mind God's own creative activity and God's rest on the seventh day. And then in Deuteronomy, Sabbath is connected to liberation, with the reminder that God set God's people free from slavery in Egypt. And so, as we take these scriptures and the law of God seriously, we learn that Sabbath practice has to do both with creation and redemption, with delighting in the creation such that we ourselves are recreated, and in remembering with joy that God frees us from all that is enslaving to us or does harm to us. Sabbath understood in this way makes Jesus' encounter with the woman on the Sabbath perfectly appropriate. So why does the leader of the synagogue get so bent out of shape? Well, evidently over the years, the one clear prohibition in the fourth commandment, no work, required some further definition. A policy, if you will. In time, according to one commentator, 613 additional rules and regulations were attached to that one simple admonition. And the result is that a commandment that was originally meant to provide a day of enjoyment and renewal became a fearful thing, leading folks to worry all day long that they might inadvertently do something that might be construed as work. I must confess to you that I feel for the leader of the synagogue. It is true that I, like him, want to get it right. And I want to follow God's teaching. I'm a huge fan, you might be surprised to learn, I'm a huge fan of following the rules. Jaywalking makes me nervous, as does walking into a place if the sign says closed, even if the door's open, and they'll say, oh no, we can go in, and I'm like, no, the sign says closed. We can't go in. Not using your blinker makes me crazy. I am a team player. I spent years playing sports, and I know that when people don't know or follow the rules, the game falls apart. I know through experience that without shared commitments to agreed upon norms, community life breaks down. I feel for the synagogue leader, and I can feel the sting when Jesus speaks the word hypocrite, that most painful of words when directed at those of us who are just trying to be faithful, who are just trying to get it right. But part of being faithful is a willingness to receive correction, an openness to learn that we might be getting it wrong. And Jesus points out that according to the state of things on that particular Sabbath day, an ox had a better chance of being treated well than a human being did. And that was due to a provision written into the Sabbath policy that allows for livestock to be given water on the seventh day. Perhaps another amendment is called for. After all, if an animal can be untethered in order to be cared for on the Sabbath, cannot a beloved daughter of God be set free as well? In this story, we see Jesus breaking some of the finer points of the synagogue's book of discipline for the sake of a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. In this case, at least, it appears that what is called nonconformity by the religious institution is actually much more conformed to the heart and intention of God's law. Jesus' acts of nonconformity, in addition to showing love and mercy, were meant to liberate the faith community from hypocrisy and from a harmful application of God's law. Jesus wasn't trying to destroy his Jewish faith tradition or to create schism. Nonconformity is a word that's been flying around a lot in our United Methodist denomination over the past months, particularly with regard to those of us who stand and act in defiance of the discriminatory language and rules against LGBTQ people. And my participation in these acts of so-called nonconformity finds its inspiration and its justification in this very passage that we have heard today and others like it. That is, I believe I'm following Jesus. But if I'm taking this passage of Scripture seriously, which I, with all my heart, want to do, then I must remain aware that I myself stumble into the sanctuary week in and week out with some spirit or another from which I need to be liberated, that I need the healing touch of Christ. And I also need and simply must come open to a word of challenge, of correction, of conviction. I have to be open to what Jesus sees and knows needs to be fixed in me. We all come to this place in various sorts of shape. Some of us feeling strong, and some of us feeling weak, and some of us uncertain, and some of us more certain than we perhaps ought to be. We are here to worship, or to find a place to belong, or to hear a word of hope or of challenge, or to confess, or to be healed, or perhaps we've come without really knowing why we have come. But you're here. Now. And thank God, Jesus will not conform to even well-meaning human laws or rules that would keep him from seeing you and extending to you whatever you need to live more fully and more freely. It may sting what Jesus needs to do. But even that is for the greater purpose of love and liberation. Now, Jesus is teaching on this Sabbath day. And just then, some people arrived. And Jesus saw you and called to you and said, "You are set free. You're set free." Praise be to God.